This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 306. I spent my entire break text fighting with Jimmy Griffin about Seinfeld. The headline is, Andrew, you've been promoted. He pulled out a DGS Live, so it's the Beatles to the euphonium. He said something really smart. I told him, I'm like, I'm totally using this. We're going back and forth about Seinfeld. He said, it's the honeymooners of our generation. I go, I know, I just can't watch it. It's so dated. And he goes, I love it, but 90% of the storylines in Seinfeld would be negated with just the use of a cell phone. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's really smart. That's so true.
I can't help but picture you and him arguing like Jerry and George arguing, where he's like, you don't like the old shows? And you're like, I don't like them. I don't like them, Jimmy.
So Wheels is at home doing his prep for a colonoscopy tomorrow. And you literally just started drinking the Gatorade, right?
Colite, yes. And it tastes like, ugh, it's brutal.
What's the flavor?
It's supposed to be lemon. You can't really taste anything, but it's only 8 ounces, so I can just slam it. It's fine.
How many 8 ounces you got to drink?
I got to do about 100 ounces today. Ooh. Like in the next 2 hours, I got to do about 100 ounces. So like 8 ounces every 10 to 20 minutes. So basically, every time we go to break, I'm going to pound 8 ounces of Kool-Aid.
Alrighty,
that's a lot.
Yeah. What you got for us?
Couple of things. I tied them together because I thought this would be fun.
What if you just did the wife spanking segment again?
No. I've had this one sitting on the list for a couple of days because I think it's cool because scientists have now figured out how to redirect lightning using laser beams. I mean, how can I not want to talk about lightning and laser beams like that? What was interesting was, though, I just during the top of the hour got into the ChatGPT. It started working. You have to sign up with an email, and I did all that. So I asked it to explain whether or not or how lightning could be redirected using lasers, and it was wrong. So it was only wrong in the sense that it was not up to date, though, with this story. So it had the basics right. So basically what you do is you fire a laser into some point into the atmosphere, and that creates a plasma channel. And then the lightning can then follow that channel and go where you want it to and not necessarily where it would otherwise go. So it's similar to a lightning rod, except it protects larger areas. So when you think about the practical application, large sporting events, athletic facilities, because when you think about lightning strikes, these are typically the problems, right? Or, you know, kind of like outdoor areas, outdoor facilities. But then I thought about this and I wonder if all of the research on this is actually meant to be just like protective, and if somebody's not going to look at this and go, I can redirect lightning with lasers, this could be a great weapon.
Could also be a great energy source. I don't know whether a bolt of lightning could, you know, run a electric car for a day or a city. I have no idea. But if we can direct it down to something that's like a solar panel, but for lightning, we might be able to harness the energy.
That's a great idea. They didn't try to do that in this study.
Why do I say these things
out loud? Wow. I mean, they didn't do that. I mean, I wonder if they can do that with lightning rods now, right? Because the idea of a lightning rod is, of course, to attract the lightning in that area, but it only covers a small area. And the beauty of the lasers is that it can cover up to, like, one of them can cover up to a half mile radius. But they're also like, I mean, you don't have to build a rod into the ground like it's a giant tower. You can just have the lasers set up and put them in different areas and cover actually a pretty large kind of space.
I'm at that age now that I really feel the world changing around me. Like, I can imagine, Wheels, that our grandkids would go, can you believe that when grandpa, like, people got hit by lightning?
Right.
Right? Like, it'll just be accepted that, of course, no one gets hit by lightning because you got lasers, doy.
I feel like everything that we're finding, whether it's, you know, the potential for, you know, microscopic life on other planets in our solar system, or water in all parts of places in the universe, like all of these discoveries, they start off being mind blowing and then they seem to become routine, but they're just changing everything about what we understand. And it's funny because we're learning about this stuff, Dave, at the same time we're learning about more about our past, which is fascinating to me.
Wait, so the lightning lasers thing, that's for, like, renewable energy and not, like, public safety, right?
No, they're just, right now, they're just testing. They just did the first field test to see that they can do it.
Okay.
So they're not really at the point where the applications are there, but they are making the point that by using these things, you could protect large areas that, like, you know, there are places that are prone to lightning strikes, like high elevations and things, and they have these lightning rods, but it doesn't cover a very large amount of space. So I think they're thinking about safety at this point, but it doesn't limit it to that. And they just did it for the first time in real life in Switzerland, I guess, within the last little bit here.
I just feel like we have, like, bigger public safety issues
with,
like, lightning strikes.
Right.
But yeah, which is, like, why I went to the other area where you could make it a weapon.
Sure.
Because that's where the money will be, right? The money will be in the weapons, and then the other stuff can be used for whatever.
Am I the only one? I'm changing topics here, but it's kind of related. I you know, when, like, something doesn't make sense and you look around the room and you're like, am I the only one? Is it just me kind of thing? This is how I feel about Russia and Ukraine. Am I the only one that didn't know that it's not cool, but it's perfectly doable to attack another country unprovoked, attack the citizenry as your general battle strategy, and then say openly through diplomatic channels, hey, by the way, if we lose, we're going to nuke everybody. Did anyone else know that you could just do that and get away with it? I would have thought someone would have stepped in. I'm living in a fantasy world. I would have thought the Security Council would do this or this or say something. It's all a bunch of crap. The UN might as well just, let's turn it into a putt shack, because they're worthless. If a major power can attack a small country and kill the citizens on purpose, committing war crimes, what the hell does the Geneva Convention mean? What the hell does the UN for? I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, it really struck me. I guess it was probably a couple months ago at this point, but Putin did something or said something in relation to the war, and the UN was like, well, we condemn that in the strongest possible terms.
Right.
And that means nothing.
Well, but isn't that why we have NATO and why Ukraine wanted to join NATO so they could have those kind of protections?
You're right, Rach. I think that's what we've learned is that, no, you really can do that so long as they're not protected by the mafia. Right? Like, we're basically the mafia. Like, NATO's like, hey, you attack one, you attack all of us, but they're not protected, so do whatever the hell you want. We're going to condemn it all day long, but we're not going to stop you. It's just weird to me.
Or we will help you, but we have to do it in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
We'll send you weapons and we'll train you on how to use those weapons, but we're not going to touch it necessarily.
Yes.
That's the part where I've had the am I crazy moment. Like, okay, we're going to send you all of the weapons that you're using in this war against Russia, but somehow we're not at war against Russia?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really weird, like,
Russia seems to accept. Every now and then they'll be like, we're really tired of you doing that. But I would think they would have been like, hey, you might as well just go to war.
Well, this new one, I think it's called Patriot, and I'm not sure exactly what it does, but this is one that Ukraine had been asking for since the beginning of the war. We gave it to them, and not only did we give it to them, we are going over there and training them on how to use it.
Yeah,
it's like, that feels like our hands are a little dirty in that situation. Not that I'm saying it's a bad thing, but it feels pretty direct, but it's still indirect enough to where I guess we can claim that we have nothing to do with it.
Also, it makes me a little nervous. Like, I'm not trying to put anything on Ukraine. They've done a very good job fighting off some very bad people, but have we never learned? Like, it never works out when we supply a massive amount of weapons to a country. It just feels like it doesn't usually go in our favor.
It worked in Afghanistan against Russia.
And I feel like it's working against Russia now, where Russia is so exposed as far as like their military capability. Before this, everyone thought that they were much more big and bad than they actually are. And a lot of their stuff is being wiped out in this war. That's basically like a proxy. Like, we are involved, but we're not actually, we're sending stuff over there, but we're not shedding any American blood.
Do you guys think this whole thing is true of basically three countries, like U.S., China, and Russia can basically do what they want and nobody's going to do anything about it?
New topic. I like this one. The Prime Minister of New Zealand has resigned, and we could probably should have got the – I told you to get the audio, but basically she said, running a country is incredibly hard. It's a privilege, but you need to have your tank full. And my tank is no longer full, so I need to step away and let someone whose tank is full take over. And a lot of people are saying, like, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You get tired, you got to keep working. You got to pull it. And we see this not only with world leaders, but people at QT and people who it's like, I'm taking a mental health day off. Is this just one of those, the generations grinding against each other like tectonic plates that in my day, world leaders stayed the whole time?
Well, I'm sure in your day, world leaders didn't have quite as many threats at their doorstep, you know? I'm sure it's harder now to run a country than it ever has been because we have, everything is on such a global scale and you have to have an answer for everything. So I don't know. I really don't know anything about the situation, but I appreciate the fact that if she's struggling, like if she's not all there mentally, it probably is the best thing for their country for her to step aside and let someone else who has all their capabilities do it.
I tend to agree. Like if my pilot on Southwest Airlines is thinking I really shouldn't be flying right now, I want him to step aside even if my flight's delayed.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing noble in being worse at your job because you just got to stick it out.
Do you in general, does like the concept of like a mental health day or whatever in general, does that kind of hit the gag reflex a little bit? Yeah.
Here's the thing.
It does for me sometimes.
I think because I'm such a tweener, right? I'm on so many things. It definitely hits my gag reflex. It makes me feel like a sissy, but I think it's really smart. You know, like most people are like, oh, no, this is good for me, but not for you. I'm the opposite.
Yeah. You like the idea, but you're like, I'm not taking
exactly. Yeah, exactly. OK, well, we solved a lot of problems.
Nice. We did.
All right. Quick break. Right back. DGS. 322 DGS. Rach had said something during that last segment that triggered something in me, and I want to at least ask the question. So we're talking about the New Zealand Prime Minister resigning because she's tired and her bucket's not full and she doesn't think she's going to do a good job. And Rach said, you know, it has to be harder than ever to be a world leader because it's now global and so many threats and so forth and so on. My question to you guys is whether you think it's real or you think it's just the perception, either one, are most things more difficult now? Or are most things easier now? I could make an argument either way. I'm interested in your thoughts. Jobs, relationships, is everything a little harder these days or a little easier?
I think it's impossible to sum up everything. I think some things are much, much more difficult. I think some jobs are harder. Just the fact that your employer didn't really have a way of getting a hold of you after hours. And now it's like, hey, we sent you an email. Where are you? Even though it's 7:30 and you've been off work for 2 hours, like we need you on this now. I think there's a lot more of that going on. But then there's just so much more convenience and comfort in so many areas of life. So I hesitate to sum up everything one way or the other.
Is your gut that they kind of average out?
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah, my thoughts too. Like being in the public eye, right, is a lot harder than it used to be. Like being a famous actor or whatever, because people are just, they have literal forums now where they can just get together and constantly be talking about you and analyzing your every word and analyzing your every movement. Whereas in the past, there was no real, you know, practical way to do that. But on the other hand, like, you know, a lot of things that are like a lot more automated than they used to be are much easier to do now and much less labor intensive. So yeah, you feel like it's got to average out.
Wheels?
Yeah. I mean, I tend to think generally speaking, it's easier because we're talking about virtual attention. You know, I mentioned that it was the anniversary of the Beatles' first hit here. Look what they had to deal with in real life, being chased down the streets by fans. You know, like that wasn't just people chatting about them on Twitter. I think that the attention is different and it's more constant and it's more out there, but you can avoid it. You can't really avoid people physically going crazy. So I just use that as a way to, you know, as an example to that. While that may seem like it's worse now and maybe it's more widespread and common now, it's definitely a different thing than being worried about being trampled by a stampede of your fans that have losing their minds. But I do think for a world leader, it has to be worse. I mean, think about what you had to deal with in World War II times or even in the 60s in Vietnam. Sure, you had. There's always been the threat in human history of physical violence. There's always been the threat of war. But now you've got the threat of cyber attacks. You've got misinformation being spread at a record pace. I gotta believe that stuff is becoming exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Want to do some audio?
Sure. We can start with mine. This was something that the White House posted on Twitter, and I just generally think this kind of stuff is a little silly, but the ending really made me chuckle.
Brittany speaking. How may I help you?
Hi, Brittany. This is Joe Biden. I'd like to place an order for lunch if I could, okay?
I've got great news. 10.4 million people have applied to start a new business. That's more than any time in American history in a single period. 10.4 million new small businesses. The vice president and I have lunch once a week, and I'm going to order from a small business right now.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. What would you like to have?
Well, I'd like to have a bacon cheeseburger with American cheese and a side of French fries. We'll have someone come pick it up, okay? How's business at Ghost Burgers these days?
It's pretty good.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm looking forward to having lunch.
That's crazy.
Hold on.
Ooh, I'm shaking.
Here's one of the reasons.
Hold on. We got cheeseburgers.
We got cheeseburgers from Ghost Burger.
Yes.
I ordered them and I said, this is Joe Biden calling. I said, huh? Yeah.
Oh, Colin, Joe.
Oh, my the two
best friends that ever were, Kamala and Joe, sitting down. We got cheeseburgers.
Either this
I
is why
cheeseburgers or Ghost
I
Burger.
Am a jerk, or people think I'm a jerk, because I feel like that kind of happy, happy horse crap works on most people. I hate it. It's not cute. I see what you're doing. I don't like it. Plus, You just sounded like you struggled to order a friggin' burger, dude.
That was a bad
He's
look.
He's never sounded older.
That
never.
That was a real bad look. Has been a ghost burger.
He's made a cow? Or the cow burgers?
I just thought it
and
was good.
And Kamala. I mean, I don't know what she's supposed to do, but cheeseburgers. It's like...
I also don't buy the fact that they're having lunch together once a week. Those two act like they've never met before.
No. He definitely does not remember her when he sees her.
Where are you guys on this stuff? And like the obvious cutesy.
I think it's nice that they ordered from a small business. Like I get why they're doing it. It's obviously just a glamour shot for the White House more than it is to spotlight the small business. But I just thought that one was particularly funny because Joe sounds 1 million years old.
Really?
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. I don't like the happy horse crap. I don't like motivational speeches. I don't like, yeah, I mean, I think all of that kind of falls under the same thing. Like everybody sees through it. So why are you doing it?
Yeah. But it's also like, I mean, maybe if somebody like, I really
I wish I were the kind of person that could just enjoy it.
Yeah.
If I could take a pill and be like, he's got a cheeseburger, you know, like I would take that pill.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
333 DGS. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Just kind of winter, isn't it? Kind of January.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not super cold, but it's certainly not warm. Kind of gloomy. Been a sprinkle here and there, but that's about it.
The wind is making it seem super cold.
You should have seen us walking back from lunch. What did you say, Andrew? It's like fjording the tundra or something?
Yeah, like you just felt that it was pushing back at you so hard. Ugh.
Did you order that hamburger?
I remember one time when I was a lawyer, I got a chance to interview in Chicago for a legal job. And it was about this time of year, and it was in the loop, and this literally happened. And I flew up there, and I got in a taxi, and I got out, and the Chicago winter wind hit me. And I was like, I might as well not even interview. Like,
I'm just going home.
Yeah, it was just like I had never felt that before.
Pretty intense.
No fun. No fun.
So where do we go from here for the weekend?
Yeah, wind's the big deal overnight tonight. Wind is the big deal again on Friday, but Friday will be sunny. But it's going to be kind of cold to be out in about 42, down to 25 Friday night. Saturday, light winds on Saturday, lots of sunshine. It's 42, but it will feel a little bit better, and it's kind of pretty. A very weak system is squirting by late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. It's got a window of maybe about 4 hours or so. A little bit of light rain, a little bit of wet snow mixed together. 32 is the overnight low Saturday night, so kind of borderline temperatures. And then back to 42 on Sunday. It's not a big storm system. It's not a big deal. But there'll be a little bit of slop around here and there.
Before we do headlines, can I riff a little bit on part of the news that Michael Calhoun just did?
Mm-hmm.
So we remember when the Roe v. Wade overturning Dobbs decision was leaked and, we're going to find him, we're going to root him out. And now they're saying, like, can't find him. Come on. So I can tell you from going to law school that the real smart kids end up being judges and justices and things like this. And you can't get near the Supreme Court. I don't care if you bring people coffee. Everyone there is supposed to be a genius. So either this is a bunch of crap and they know exactly who it is, but they're like, oh, we can't say this. We just have to say we couldn't find them. Or if someone really is smarter than everyone involved with the Supreme Court of the United States, someone is really that big of an evil megamind genius, let's find them and put them in charge of everything. Right?
I love it. Yes.
I can't believe that the Supreme Court of the United States can't figure out who leaked a memo.
Mm.
Maybe it's like they say about murder cases, like after the first 48, you just kind of can't figure it out a lot of the time. And maybe they started, because they didn't start investigating it until I think like a while after the leak first happened. So maybe it was just like Yeah, I don't know. Emails are gone, memos are gone, whatever.
It just doesn't sit right with me.
There's no way that it was an intentional leak, but who wrote the opinion? Was it Scalise?
It was Alito.
Alito. There's no way that was just intentionally put out there so there wasn't mass hysteria whenever they actually overturned
could have been,
it.
Sure. I don't know the motivation. It could have been absolutely that.
Because I think it was shocking for people when they knew it was being discussed. But I think if you just woke up one morning and it's like, by the way, we overturned Roe v. Wade, I think that would have been like major deal.
I enjoy conspiracy theories, but I'm not typically one who starts them. But I could imagine that if it was one of the justices, not one of the lackeys, that they circle the wagons and go, we just have to say we couldn't find it.
Yeah.
We deserve to know.
But even if it was one of like the Democrat side that found it and leaked it, you know,
I find it incredibly far-fetched that they, with all the power of the United States and all the power of the Supreme Court, they couldn't figure out who did this. I have a hard time believing that. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right. A poll is asking about the Biden documents as the Justice Department investigates classified documents found in President Joe Biden's home and garage next to his sweet Corvette and private office. A poll is looking at what Americans think. The new Quinnipiac University poll claims a majority of Americans think the president's handling of the materials is, quote, serious and inappropriate, but less than half think the conduct should result in criminal charges.
I think Joe called them Frenched fries.
He said, like, French fries, like a really weird way.
That's how they used to say it back in the 20s, to be fair. Another survey is looking at U.S. healthcare. Fewer than half the people in a new Gallup survey say they have favorable opinions of the U.S. healthcare system. They've views on healthcare in the U.S. have degraded since their peak in 2012, when 62% of respondents had praise for the system. Everything's getting worse, it seems.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Everybody's confidence is worse.
Knock on wood, I have not had a really bad health care. I couldn't get care. The copay was ridiculous. Like, I've been pretty lucky. So I know, Andrew, you have not.
Yeah.
And everyone comes in looking through your own eyeballs, and that's it. But, yeah, I think we could probably do a lot better than we're doing, but I haven't personally suffered because of it.
So a man is claiming that he got rat poison at Taco Bell. This happened in Colorado. This man is in the hospital after allegedly eating rat poison in his to-go order from Taco Bell. Police say the victim bought burritos at the restaurant Sunday afternoon and had argued with employees because the restaurant's drink station wasn't working.
Holy crap.
And he alleges that they put rat poison in his burritos. Hours later, he called 911 after he ate the food and became violently ill. The case is being investigated as criminal attempt homicide, and the Taco Bell location has been closed. Meanwhile, the manager says that the victim has caused problems at the restaurant before and says the situation is ridiculous. So a real he says, he says.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's what I want to hear from the Bell.
Yeah, that's not really a no.
This guy had it coming. No,
that just said, look, whatever might have happened, it sounds like he deserved it.
They were handling it.
Yeah, we let them make their own decisions on how to take care of the situation.
So Party City has filed for bankruptcy after years of losses and strong competition from places like Amazon. I'm sure it's easier to just order your party supplies online nowadays, but they filed for bankruptcy, but they will be staying open. So
Party City's a happy memory for me. I used to just go cruise there sometimes.
Yeah, just hang out.
Yeah,
blowing up balloons in the corner. Hey,
yeah,
how you doing,
sir? Would you like to buy one of those hats you're trying on?
Nope, I'm just enjoying myself. Amazon is getting rid of their Smile charity program to focus on other giving. You guys remember Amazon Smile? You could go and if you selected a charity, they would receive a donation from the company equal to half a percentage of your purchase. Amazon says, though, that their donations were just spread too thin. There were like thousands and thousands of charities, and each charity ended up getting like maybe $200 at the end of the year. So they're just going to kind of shift and give charitable donations elsewhere. So Amazon Smile is ending. Just so people know, I didn't use it much because you had to do it through the web browser for much of its run. I don't know if they changed that in later years, but a lot of people just shop from the app. So the Amazon Smile didn't work there. So just a word to the wise, they're not doing that anymore.
Gotcha.
I'll let you guys know yesterday that Twitter was kind of having a little bit of a fire sale, getting rid of some things in their San Francisco headquarters. Well, that bird statue that I told you about went at auction for around $100,000. Somebody paid for the light up bird sign from Twitter. Mm. Kind of cool to have.
Yeah, I'd have bought it if I had the money.
You would have spent $100,000 on
it? If I had, like, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, yeah. I'll pay $100,000 for the big bird statue. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'll figure that out later.
Can you imagine me
tomorrow
if I had $500 million, the dumb stuff
that
I would buy?
I love thinking about
God.
That.
What wouldn't I buy?
You would buy not like items off of eBay, but you'd buy a whole category.
Yeah.
Right? You'd go, on the
everything
filter.
Yes.
You would just search for 70s and just buy everything.
You'd hit like 70s toy and then filter, and then it's like it's 300,000 results, and you're like, yep, all of them.
I'd pay an army of people to open them and show them to me. As I wear a robe that no longer covers all of my body, and I just be like, that's cool, I had that.
Place that in the desk drawer.
Wizards, yeah.
And my final story, Heinz is releasing a new product called Magical Beans Nuggets.
I'm out.
I was expecting those words to all go together.
They're child-friendly vegan foods, and yes, they are called Magical Beans Nuggets, and beans and nuggets end with a Z, not an S. The product showcases beans and veggies and comes in three variations, two of which are suitable for vegan children. The flavors are tomato and sweet corn, cheesy, and curry. And they're all shaped like beans. So if you have a vegan kid, they've created a product for you.
Yay.
What, Dave?
It's like we're just all trying to be cute now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like everything, it just feels that way, that everything from Joe Biden ordering a French fry and nuggets with the Z and magical beans, and like, I didn't get the memo that now all we need to do is be cute.
It's an unserious time.
Man. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
347 DGS. Wheeler is joining us remotely from home because he's doing his colonoscopy prep. Have the festivities started, Kev?
No, but the band's warming up.
All right. Tuning up the old trombone, huh?
It's, they're doing the sound check. Like, check, check, 1, 2.
I'm
going back and forth. I'm going back and forth with Jimmy, and we're fighting about Seinfeld and talking music, and then he just out of nowhere goes, I want to hear Wheeler poop on the air.
I don't think anybody else does.
Driven Camo X into the ground.
Have I got good news for you, Jim?
Okay, let's do some more audio.
All right, Wheels, you have Roy Wood here.
Yeah, so it actually ties into the audio you had because this also involves President Biden.
How you doing, Mr. President?
Well, how you doing?
Now, quick question, Mr. President. The Warriors won in 2017 and 2018. Why didn't they come to the White House those other two times?
Well, you have to ask the other guy. But he didn't work here anymore.
New boss, new rules. All right. Well, thank you. Well, mystery solved.
So that was on Comedy Central, and obviously the Golden State Warriors are doing the White House visit, and they did not do that when Trump was there, and we all know the reasons why. But it was one of my thoughts on it were kind of the same as what we ended up getting into with Rachel's audio. It's like, okay, but do we really have to be cheesy? Because he cast a little like side eye at the camera, like a little sly smile. You have to ask the other guy. And I don't know. I'm all for presidents having fun. I never mind it when they goof around or when they do their tournament brackets or whatever, but I don't know, it just feels dorky when he does it.
Yeah, like the shady behavior is something we're unfortunately all kind of embroiled in lately. I don't need it from the president. Like,
yeah, right.
Like to be like, I don't know, that other president. Like, just don't bring him up. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you never, and not to be too much this guy, but like you never would have seen that from like a George W. Bush or like an Obama, you wouldn't have seen like.
I don't know. I could see Obama doing that.
Yeah, there's some snark there.
I mean, doing it too.
But I don't think we ever saw. But I think I don't think we ever did. I don't think we ever saw George Bush on a video online being like, "Well, there was another guy living in the house."
Oh, I don't
that
know,
time.
Man. He's like, "Hey, yeah, you know." Huh. He's always had that little weird thing going. actually, part of the problem here is, isn't it? I don't know if you agree, Dave, but I think part of the problem is that Biden's just not funny.
Yeah.
Like, Obama has had a little bit of swagger. I know Bush was funny in his own way, and Clinton was smooth. He just doesn't have that. And obviously, Trump didn't have a sense of humor either.
I don't know. I think Biden's incredibly funny, just maybe not on purpose.
I don't know. Trump made me laugh a couple of times. I'm not going to lie. Trump,
but on purpose, though?
He had some zingers once in a while.
Trump, I think, was genuinely funny.
Were you guys telling me about Trump today? There was something new out.
Oh, he was being deposed for the situation he's in with E. Jean Carroll, who claimed that he sexually assaulted her back in the 80s, I think.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and he was being deposed, and they showed him a photo of her, and he thought that it was his ex-wife, Marla Maples. And it was just weird. It was a weird article that I sent to Andrew, and we were kind of talking about
also,
it.
Also, this was another one that I give the guy credit. He just keeps surprising me. But Trump came out on Truth Social and said something, paraphrasing, that, you know, maybe I kept a few empty above top secret folders because they're kind of a cool keepsake.
They're kind of a cool little keepsake.
Which is exactly what Braxton Payne said when the whole thing broke. He's like, look, he took these things so he could show them to friends and be cool.
Yeah.
And Trump kind of said the same thing.
Yeah. He wants to tell people at Mar-a-Lago, like, you know, hey, you want to see this classified document? It doesn't even matter what's on it.
Put the Sunday brunch menu inside of one of those.
So, Andrew, your audio is, I'm guessing, MTG?
It is. This is more just putting something on everybody's radar, because you're going to be hearing about this a whole lot, I think, over the next couple of years. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, everyone's favorite. She's been put on the Homeland Security Council. I think we very briefly touched on this the other day offhandedly. And there's been a couple of clips over the past day or so going viral, like this one from a couple of years ago.
By that time in our American history, we had had George Bush for 8 years. We had 9/11. Sorry about that, guys. Call came in, so I had to decline it. But we had witnessed 9/11, right? We had witnessed 9/11, the terrorist attack in New York, and the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania, and the so-called plane that crashed into the Pentagon. It's odd. There's never any evidence shown for a plane in the Pentagon. But anyways, I'm not going to dive into the 9/11 conspiracy.
Wait, is this recent?
This is from a couple years ago.
Okay.
But while she was a congresswoman.
According to her, she's a completely different person, which I'm very curious. I mean, she's there. She's not going anywhere. I'm very curious to see how this plays out, because she got in there by being super extreme, Jewish lasers, QAnon all the way. And now she's really pivoted to like, oh, I was young and impressionable, and now all that stuff is crap. I wonder whether people will turn against her. The people who elected her, who love the QAnon stuff, like, oh, you're part of the swamp now. Mm-hmm. Or whether she'll be successful at this.
I guess we're just going to have to see how it plays out.
Well, how do you guys feel about somebody who has thus far, prove me otherwise, Marge, but who has thus far made her entire career off of saying things like 9/11 was fake, Sandy Hook was fake, Jewish space lasers, everything imaginable, any bad thing that anyone's ever done was faked from the very beginning. The Holocaust was fake. How do you feel about somebody like that?
Terrible.
Sitting on.
Terrible.
Not good.
And, you know, people have been really mocking Kevin McCarthy hard on this, because they're like, okay, this is what you did for her to make her flip over to your side.
I feel so stupid for never running for Congress. Like, I always thought, oh, no, too many skeletons, and no, those guys are way smarter than me, and their resumes must be amazing, which George Santos's was.
What if I said something dumb one time?
Right. Now I'm looking at that. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Jeez.
There was a really funny, by the way, a really funny George Santos tweets that I just saw. He tweeted back-to-back over the span of, like, 2 hours. First, he tweeted, like, let me read it. The most recent obsession from the media claiming that I am a drag queen or performed as a drag queen is categorically false. The media continues to make outrageous claims about my life while I am working to deliver results. 4 hours later, the next tweet on his timeline is, the reports that I would let a dog die is shocking and insane. My work in animal advocacy was the labor of love and hard work. Over the past 24 hours, I have received pictures of dogs I helped rescue throughout the years.
I saw a picture on Drudge of George Santos in drag.
Yeah.
Was that made up? That's
more than one.
They did that.
He says it is, but, you know, he actually kind of has a history of lying, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, you know, first of all, there's more than one picture, and there are also people saying they knew him. And he still hasn't addressed why he sometimes goes as Anthony DeVolder and now he's a representative named George Santos. Like, come on, man.
Are there people out there who like George Santos? Like, are there any Santos heads out there?
Well, he's definitely pushing to go far right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's smart of him because if you'll accept Marjorie Taylor Greene because she believes the QAnon stuff, then you'll probably accept anyone. And
yeah,
I'm not trying to be crappy here. I'm trying to be intellectual about this. If you have a base that kind of doesn't care about you personally, so long as you believe the crazy stuff, he's probably in the right place. He's probably going to the right place. Because if he tries to go anything reasonable people are going to go like, no, you're not my guy.
But aren't those far-right people, aren't they the ones that think guys like him would be groomers?
If he is, in fact, doing drag shows, yeah.
Well, they argue that about the whole LGBTQ community.
Right.
Like the far-right people. I'm talking about the nut jobs. And that's the only people he can appeal to. Like, how can, I don't know, the whole thing confuses me. It all makes my brain hurt.
It's a tough putt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.